Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for such a precious time this morning. Thank you for the time of praise and worship, the words that have already been spoken, Lord. The time of sharing a meal with body and you, Lord, as you were in the midst. Father, have your will and your way in the service right now. Encounter us, Lord. Speak through me, Holy Spirit, that I may bring you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians 3, 8 through 11. I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, having my own righteousness, which is of the law, having not my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We've had this journey with Peter, and we'll probably go a few more weeks with Peter. As we've seen this transformation happen, or he was acquainted with the Savior, but now he knows the Savior, and he knows the fellowship of his suffering through the cross, and he knows the power of his resurrection as he was restored faithfully. And Jesus gives him the charge. He gives him the charge and he says, feed my sheep and tend to my sheep. And he tells him, you're going to die as a martyr. Count the cost. Now follow me. And we see 10 days after in the upper room, the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the 120. And Peter, in the power of the Holy Spirit, goes out and he proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ. His first sermon. And how many souls were saved? 3,000. 3,000 souls were saved. Actually, it's probably 3,000 men that were saved. And that means that there's women and children above and beyond that. Usually when they count in the Bible at this time, it was usually only in men. And last week, I gave you kind of the six effects of the Holy Spirit where you're surrendered and broken and filled. And then the Holy Spirit gives you confidence and courage to stand. And it leaves dependence upon Scripture. The Holy Spirit helps you blot out the past to start anew. It leads to a focus on Christ and the gospel. We're going to see that again. And what leads to it finally is fruit. You bear fruit for the kingdom of God because you're attached to the vine. You're attached to Jesus because he's in you and the Holy Spirit is working through you. The very next chapter in Acts chapter 3. Turn over there with me. And I love this study because we spent time really focusing on Peter, right? And his denial and his weaknesses and his shortcomings, and it was all about Peter. But suddenly it's like this transition happens where he suddenly knows him, and it's like, it's not all about Peter. It's about Jesus, right? Peter decreases so that Jesus increases, right? And that's what we see here. So this is in Acts 3, there's a lame man healed. This Peter's no longer this man in hiding who denied Jesus, and he's running in fear, but he's at the temple. He's at the very heart of Jerusalem. And we read the first miracle recorded. After the first sermon, we read the first miracle recorded as the Holy Spirit enables the apostles to perform this after Pentecost. Read with me. Now, in verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. This is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, So the man was born this way, folks. The man was born this way that we're going to read about. Whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, and expecting to receive something from them, then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This was no longer the Peter of old. He's got something to share. He was going to pray, and an opportunity knocks. He's got something to give that the world doesn't have to offer. What a difference. Silver and gold, the things of this world that you think make you better, that will bring you happiness, don't hold a candle to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And this scene is a glimpse of hope and restoration to come. We read about a man walking and leaping. A little cold in here, huh? What a promise. Isaiah 35 is a fulfillment in there. I'm just going to read it. This is the future glory of Zion. This is a prophetic passage in Isaiah 35. It says, "The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose, and it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb sing. For water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with the reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." The hope of what's to come. And we see glimpses of it as Jesus came through, and now through the apostles, through the Holy Spirit. They're bearing fruit for hope and restoration. And you see a man who was lame, leaping like a deer. Jesus fulfilled part of that scripture in Matthew 11, 4 through 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and tell John the Baptist the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So Jesus fulfilling that because he came, and then he said, "Greater things you will do. Greater things you will do. Because my spirit will be in you."
Amen.
And so here Peter and the apostles are doing some of the great wonders through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we could take so much away just in this one little passage. And I want to focus on the lame man here. Because Peter sees something there. He sees something. And it's not just the physical healing that's going on here. There is spiritual healing. And maybe we can identify with the lame man, because the man was lame since birth. He was born that way. Isn't that all of us since the fall of the garden? We were crippled by original sin. Each and every one of us were lame before knowing Jesus. We were helpless, just getting by and growing through life like the lame man was. Every day he would go to the temple gate. Every day he was just hoping for something to get him through the day. Does that resonate with you? Or did it resonate with you? He, just as we did not know there was something better than what this world has to offer. So the point one was healing. Point two is condition. There was nothing this man could do to change his condition. Nothing. There was nothing this world offered to change his condition. There's no surgery. There's no physical therapy. There's no pills to help make it feel better. There's nothing that could change this man's condition except one thing. There was no hope for this man. There was no hope that he would ever walk. He just kind of accepted his lot in life. I'll just go to the temple and I'll beg. How about us? Isaiah 64:6, our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do to heal our separation from God. There's nothing you and I can do to heal our separation from God. You and I can't do anything. You and I didn't overcome death. You and I didn't have our sin nailed to the cross. One man had the sin nailed to the cross. And through him, okay, so it's not you and I, it's through Jesus, okay? But that's not the perception of the world, is it? So many of religion today talk about just good deeds. It's about being a good person. You work your way into heaven. I'm a good person. I did this. I did that. Jesus said in Matthew 7, people are like, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Like, I'm a good person. I did these things. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not works. You cannot do anything. You on your own can do nothing to heal your condition. Point three, worldly versus spiritual things. Worldly things versus spiritual things. Silver and gold won't help you. You cannot buy your way into heaven. Do you understand? Giving to the church won't save you or your family. It helps further the kingdom of God, but you can't purchase your way, just like Simon the sorcerer could not purchase the Holy Spirit. The world's thoughts and advice won't help you. The big think tanks. Peter says, I'll give you what I have. And I got to imagine, what was that man's thoughts at this time? What was his thoughts at this point? No silver and gold. Maybe some food? Maybe some clothing? Maybe something I can sell or barter with to get some money? But Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Nazarene. At this point, they're at the entrance of the temple, and the name Nazarene is despised. These are the same people, remember. These are the same people that wanted Barabbas. Some had converted. We know that Peter preached and some had converted. But the majority, the vast majority, have not. They don't believe in Jesus. And so the name Nazarene is foolishness. God has chosen, 1 Corinthians 1:27. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. It's not in the name of Peter. It's not in the name of Caiaphas at the time. It's not in the name of the temple. It's the foolish things. It's Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this awesome man who came down from heaven, laid down his crown, and the people hadn't accepted him. It's not in the name of some doctor or some medical group. It's in Jesus Christ alone that the healing is given for this man and for you and I. Amen. Point four, something new happens. There's healing. Listen, folks, there's healing in Jesus. There's physical healing. And most importantly for us who are in a spiritually dead condition, there is spiritual healing in salvation through Jesus Christ. We who were dead in sin, crippled by our condition, suddenly God's grace breathes new life on us and we are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Yes. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Amen. Simon, Simon, Simon. Now Peter. A new creation, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, renewed in his mind. Looks upon the man, says, there's something here. I got something for you. I got something for you, and I didn't understand it before, but I understand it now. I got something so much better. Titus 3, 4 through 7, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us. Yes. Abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Heirs. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Point five. Suddenly, this man was not expecting to walk this day. He was not expecting a miracle. See, many people we come in contact are looking for something to get them through another day. Do you understand? Maybe they're looking for a handout like this man was. If you are faithful, and you let the Holy Spirit lead you, you can give them something so much more than a handout. A true hope in Jesus. Suddenly they are walking and leaping and praising the Lord. 1 Peter 1:3 through 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it does not fade away, and it is reserved in heaven for you, for me. Amen. Suddenly God moves. Suddenly he moves. Suddenly, you wait, and you wait, and you go through life, and you're waiting, and you're renewing your strength, and then suddenly, God breaks through. Love breaks through. That's point six. Love broke through. God's love breaks through, and it hits you like a ton of bricks. This man had been brought to the temple for years. Every day, brought to the temple gate. He was likely there when Jesus had taught. Peter had and John had probably passed this man many times before. However, in God's timing, you're a church, in God's timing, and in God's sovereignty, Love hits this man, and it hits him face to face. Because what's coming out of Peter is the love of Christ. Because the Holy Spirit's transformed him. The man caught Peter and John's attention because of their obedience to the Spirit in their life. And as a result, this man would be changed and others would be changed. This is just like us. How many people have heard the gospel preached so many times before? It's like being at the temple daily. Suddenly, God's love breaks through to you and your blinded eyes were opened for the very first time. The scales were pulled away. I know Jesse and I were never the same after God's love met us in that hospital room. And for some of you, it's the same way. We truly came to know him. We were acquainted with him, but to know him on another level. This is Peter's life, acquainted to knowing. Acquainted to knowing. Something is different this time around. Does that speak to you? Or did it just go in one ear, out the other? Is what the message that's been being taught, is it just going out, it's just noise. Is it just noise to you? Or do you understand the importance and different, to shift, to be acquainted with the Savior, to knowing him, to know him, to be with him, for him to live his life through you? Amen. It's the power to change, and that's point seven, to be changed. Instantly, the man was healed. Instantly, you are changed on the inside when you know him. His Spirit is poured out inside you. This man would never go back. The lame man would never go back to his old way of life. He would not too say to his friends, "Hey, can you carry me to the gate, please, so I can beg some more?" So that is with the changed life in Christ. We pursue holiness. We don't go back to the mud, right? We're not the pig that's washed off that goes back to the mud. Something's changed on the inside. You actually become really bad at sinning. When you sin, there's like this conviction. It's like, oh, man, I missed the mark on that one. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You feel kind of yucky. You feel kind of yucky. Thank God. Thank God he is speaking to you. Thank God the Holy Spirit convicts you. If you are sinning and there's nothing causing you to change your ways or to feel remorse for what you've done, you need to ask God for an interaction. You need to ask God to speak to you. Because Romans 1 happens over and over again. You read it over and over again. All of a sudden, eventually, it's just like God just says, "Nope, I've turned you over to a reprobate mind."
We know better. We pursue righteousness. And when we sin, there's conviction.
But where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. You are changed instantly. And the transformation that happens is point eight. There's joy. There's joy in the Lord. It's a fruit of the Spirit, folks. The transformation, the healing were sudden. God interacted suddenly. And suddenly a life is filled with joy. This man never walked. And it says all the people saw him and heard him. He was praising God because joy was coming out of him for what the Lord has done in his life. Hello, is that you? Amen. Is joy coming out of you, what God has done in your life? Have you shared it with others? Amen. Are you walking and leaping and praising God? I could just imagine this scene. The man who has never walked before is healed, and he's walking into the temple of Peter and John saying, "Praise God, hallelujah." And the people are like, "Shh, keep it down. No, you don't understand. I received something." And Peter and John are like, "That's right. That's right.
He's got something more. He's got something that the world couldn't give him. There's something that the temple couldn't give him. It's something the alms couldn't give him. It's nothing man could give. It's something only God could give through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so he's praising and leaping. God, oh Lord, thank you. You are majestic. You are all powerful. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was crippled, but now I can run and walk. I'm a living testimony.
Amen.
I'm a living testimony of what Jesus has done in my life. So you and I. So you and I. Peter was obedient because he had joy for what Christ had done to restore him. You see, Peter had joy because Jesus restored him. And as a result, he's got this new thing pushing him along, saying, hey, I'm going to share this same thing that I have. I'm not putting it under a bushel. Silver and gold, nope. I'm offering you something better. And it's changed my life forever. And it can change your life forever. And the miracle that happens here, it reaches the one man, okay? It reaches the one man. It transforms the one man because he's praising God from it. So we can see evidence. There's fruit that's born from him doing that. But his life has changed forever. But just as salvation changes the individual's life forever, as a result, the miracle draws in others. Our testimony, your testimony, the Holy Spirit inside you and I, and his word draws in others. And God's timing was perfect. Just as this man likely heard Jesus talk and teach at the temple, and just as Peter and John had passed this man by many times before, it's right after Pentecost. It's right after 3,000 souls were saved and the pump has been primed. The pump has been primed. And all of a sudden, we see the first miracle performed by the apostles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it wasn't them that did this. It wasn't them. It was the Holy Spirit through them. You understand?
Yes, indeed.
God's timing is perfect. And because of what happened here, others draw near. We probably won't get through all of this, but I'll read through it. I'll make a couple points, and then we're going to really dig into the rest of this chapter next week. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John. You see that? Look at it. He's holding on to them like, oh, it's his new brothers. It's his brothers in Christ. All the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's. And they were greatly amazed. They were greatly amazed. And so when Peter saw it, he saw their amazement. He saw their interest. He saw that they come by. And 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Peter was ready. He was instant in season, out of season. He saw it. And he said, yes, Lord, now I know. Now I know why I was going to the temple. And now I know why I saw this man and his gaze. And he says, look up at me. Now I know why this was done. It wasn't just a miracle here. It was to reach others.
Amen.
He was instant in season. And so he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you so look intently at us? Don't look at just Peter and John. As though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just. and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see now. Yes, the faith which comes through him and has given him perfect soundness in the presence to you all. You see, it's not about John and Peter. It's about Jesus. And he points out their sins and shows them the wonder of faith in Jesus Christ. Their wonder and amazement is pointed to Jesus Christ. I love how we see this different Peter. We see this different Peter. It's not about him. Don't you remember when he asked Jesus? He's like, I gave up everything. What do we get out of this, Jesus? You remember that? Going back and forth, the other disciples, I think I'm the greatest. Right? It's not about him. It's about Jesus. You see, the transformation is happening. It's not about you. It's about Jesus in you. Your life is now hid in Christ Jesus. If you are a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus, your life is now hid in Christ Jesus. He is the silversmith, and you are being purified to resemble him. You have to be surrendered to do that.
Yes.
His focus is on Jesus. No longer, Peter, no longer was he focused on Jesus one moment, and then all of a sudden the circumstances of life and the waves come crashing in and he starts to sink. Nope. 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 He's steadfast. Nope. His faith is stronger than ever. Nope. He's a new creation. I keep saying that over and over again, but you need to understand the power of transformation. You have to understand it. It's vital for you as a Christian. You are new in Christ Jesus. His foundation is on the rock of Jesus Christ. Peter's not the rock. Jesus is the rock. And he knows him now. He knows him. I think of John the Baptist again. I must decrease so that he may increase. Very easily, Peter could be like, yeah, that was me. Right? How many people would take credit? Like, oh, look at what I did. I did this for the Lord. It's really about me. No. No. He doesn't take any ounce of glory here. Immediately points to Jesus.
Right.
Immediately points to Jesus. He's been transformed, and we see the difference. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to break down what's going on here next week, but let's keep going on. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. All throughout the Old Testament, pointing to Jesus. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities, your sins. We see this interruption that goes on, and not to get ahead, but Peter preaches the gospel here. And what's the result? It's in 4, verse 4. 2,000 souls were saved. 2,000 men's lives were saved. So 2 and 3 equals 5,000. The total was 5,000. However, we don't have the women and children accounted for here. We don't have There's fruit. You understand? There's fruit for the kingdom. Because he was transformed. Because he was obedient. Because he didn't let circumstances dictate his expression. Do you understand? Like, there very easily could have been a fear of rejection. Like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do this. Oh, I don't really want to pray on this person. I don't want to speak about Jesus because I'm just afraid I might get rejected. I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. That's why you have to pray about the Holy Spirit to be used. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you power. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability to speak. We'll go there too in a couple of weeks. Amen. How many just never read that passage before? 1 to 10 looked at it that way, just in a different way. I've never looked at it that way. That we once were lame, and now we're healed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.